Hello, and thank you for joining the Momentum for Change podcast series. Did you know that more than 1.2 billion people around the world don't have access to electricity in their homes? As a result, they're forced to burn expensive and polluting fuels for their basic lighting needs. Azuri Pago Energy wants to change that. Azuri has combined solar and mobile phone technology to bring clean energy to people living in sub-Saharan Africa. The pay-as-you-go solar home system provides 8 hours of emission-free lighting each day and enough power to charge mobile phones. To tell us more, we're joined by Simon Bransfield Garth, CEO of Azuri Technologies. Hello, Simon, and welcome.
Hi there. Pleasure to be here.
Can you tell us what the Azuri Pago system is and how it works?
Yes. So Azuri is delivering solar power in sub-Saharan Africa. One of the challenges in people who don't have access to electricity is if they want to buy a solar home system, the initial cost is a barrier to the consumer. So what Azuri's done is to combine mobile phone technology and solar technology so that instead of having to buy their solar power up front, they can pay for it over a period of time, just like you or I would if we were using electricity.
When you say it combines mobile technology, what do you mean by that?
So that's mobile phone technology. So essentially, people are using mobile phones to pay for the system using mobile money services, which are routinely available across Africa. And then that technology is combined with solar technology so that people have a solar power system that they can pay for as they use it.
My understanding is that the Azuri system cuts weekly energy spending by up to about 50%, which means people actually start saving money and reducing emissions immediately. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and as well the issue of energy access that Azuri set out to address in the first place?
Sure. So worldwide, there are something like 1.2 billion people who still don't have access to grid electricity. And in sub-Saharan Africa, about half of those people reside, so about 600 million people. So if you don't have access to the grid, you have to use something else. And very often people are still using candles or kerosene or disposable batteries to get basic things like lighting within the house. The challenge with those is, apart from being environmentally very damaging and, you know, damaging from a health proposition, they're also very expensive. And so the average cost of a kerosene lamp is almost 100 times as expensive light for light than the cost of that light in a, you know, New York or London or wherever. Wow. The solar power system enables people to pay for their solar on a periodic basis, you know, for a week of usage or a month of usage. And the cost of that solar power system is priced at a level which is roughly half what people were previously spending on kerosene or candles.
Mm-hmm. Great. And in addition to tackling climate change, the Azuri business model fosters a sustainable economy. So how are local people involved in your business model? And maybe could you give us some concrete examples of how Azuri is improving people's lives?
Yes, for sure. So there are two levels in which people are involved. So people are involved in the way of as consumers. And in the case of consumers, we find that on average, people extend their productive day by about 3 hours every day when they get light within their house. So people keep stalls open for longer, they process crops in the evening, so on. And in addition, we found that on average, children spend between 90 minutes and 2 hours extra per night doing homework where they got solar light. So it's entirely normal to find children who kind of been in the middle of their class suddenly jumping to the top of their class just because they're spending that much more time doing work. So those are some of the benefits that immediately impact the end users. But at the same time, we're building out a distribution chain within the continent for these products. And so not only are the end users benefiting, but in addition, we've got a substantial number of people who are involved in selling, training, marketing, servicing, and so on the products. And so it's creating employment within the community as well as delivering a benefit to the end consumer.
Excellent. And when you had won the Momentum for Change Award, tens of thousands of Azuri units had been distributed in 11 countries across sub-Saharan Africa. Can you give us an update on what's been happening since then and what the future holds for Azuri?
Yeah, so I think there's two things that are happening. So we're continuing to grow. Azuri has grown. We've kind of doubled every year for the last 3 years, and that trajectory is continuing. But also we're looking at products that reach a different set of needs. So, for example, we have a product that includes a television that somebody can get on a pay-as-you-go basis. So we're moving away from the idea of just providing basic lighting, mm-hmm. and moving much more towards providing a connected home that has all of the sorts of modern devices that you or I would expect. So TVs, radios, lighting, internet access, smartphone, fan, maybe a small fridge. Those sorts of services in due course will all be available on a pay-as-you-go basis.
For you personally, what's the most satisfying part of your involvement in Azuri?
So I think there's really two parts to it. There is a part which is about building a business and, you know, really seeing something that is taking off. But there's also a part in which it's clear that a really fundamental change is happening within the market. Individuals who didn't have access to basic services are now getting access to those services. And people have so much more in the way of choices by having access to the internet, having access to media and entertainment. And it enables people to really reduce the divide between developed countries and less developed countries.
What's the one thing you'd want to tell listeners from all over the world? If there was one key message you really want to drive home, what would that message be?
I think one of the things that we've seen is if you think about technology and you think about the rollout of technology, there is kind of a perception that technology starts in the West, you know, in California or wherever, mm-hmm. and eventually makes its way into emerging markets. What we're seeing here is a reverse of that innovation, where we're seeing technology appearing for the first time in emerging markets. We've seen that with mobile payment systems. So something like a third of Kenya's gross domestic product goes through a mobile banking system. No other country in the world has that sort of penetration of mobile banking. We're seeing technology enabling emerging markets to be leaders.
Thank you, Simon. It was great speaking to you and wishing you all the best in the future.
Thank you very much indeed.
I'm your host, Sarah Marshaldon. You've been listening to the Momentum for Change Lighthouse Activity podcast series. These activities are shining a light on concrete climate change action around the world. For more information and to listen to other podcast installments, find us on the web at momentumforchange.org. That's Momentum for Change with the number 4.org.